John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Any good Tuesday morning to you, or is it Wednesday? What day is it? I have no idea. It's Wednesday. Let's take two. Ready? Start again. Ready? Action. And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Those Monday games always throw me off. I don't know why I thought today was Tuesday. Today's Wednesday. Let's not go backwards, folks. Let's not. Darren McFarland, Willie Donnick, Chase McAbabe is off the rest of the week. He's going to the mountains. Who knows if he makes it back alive? We hope so. We'll be praying for his safety.
Well, you know more about what happens in those mountains.
Not when he goes. I only know what goes on when I'm in the mountains and he's a part of it.
So you've seen how people operate over there.
Breaks away and he does his own thing, I cannot be responsible for what happens. I don't know.
Well, what do you guys do in the mountains?
Well,
we talk
sports, have cornhole tournaments,
right?
Poker tournaments.
Okay.
Drink, cook.
None of that sounds life-threatening.
No.
You
no,
said,
it is not.
I hope Chase makes it back alive.
Well,
is he like, spelunking down mountains or something?
His crew's a little younger. So a little bit wilder, and so I'm just saying, maybe they, they get a little crazier.
Okay. Cave dwelling? I don't know.
By the way, we used to do that trip when we were his age, so I know what went on
in
those days. It's a little bit crazier.
Okay.
By the way, we just had a flyover at the station. I don't know what just happened.
I was sitting in the parking lot. I was doing an interview, and that was quite the interview, because all of a sudden...
You felt that, too.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there were some fighter planes that went flying over us.
Yeah. We weren't sure what was going on in the building, but honestly, my first thought was, is somebody missing the runway, because we're very close to the airport? Do I need to, be careful? Do we need to be running for cover?
I think Maverick and Goose went over us.
I mean, the tower got buzzed here at 1824.
The tower did get buzzed.
Right? We got buzzed.
Luckily, I was not drinking coffee like the guy
in the
tower was. Yeah.
No doubt about it. But that was interesting. So we just got a little flyover.
That was exciting.
Go America. Go USA. Last night in Knoxville, not a good loss for Tennessee. We talked with Vince Ferrara on Monday about this Tennessee team the rest of the way and their body of work and what they have to do with all these conference games and what's left and how weak the conference is. If you're trying to build a resume for the NCAA tournament, and I know we laughed and joked on Monday, well, somebody's got to get in. I get that. That's a bad loss last night. You got to beat A&M at home.
You know, I'll be honest, I didn't see that game. I saw the score. I would agree that that's a tough one to overcome. It will happen to some bubble teams. The bubble teams aren't going to win all those games. If they did, they wouldn't be on the bubble. They'd get in. So they have to make up for it. They need to break serve somewhere and beat somebody that they're not supposed to beat. I don't think Texas A&M is a bad team, but that was a strike against them for sure. The game I watched, which was I don't know if you got a chance to see this one. Did you see any of the Auburn Ole Miss game?
No, I know it was a wild one, but I didn't see
that. That was a crazy college basketball game. Auburn pulled it out of the hat. They were down 19 at one point, came all the way back. The game goes to double overtime, and there were players that fouled out. There were shots that had a chance to win it at buzzers that rimmed out. Bruce Pearl was sweating through the blazer. He had serious armpit problems. He looked like the Dallas Cowboys offensive lineman, and he was just going crazy. Kermit Davis did not throw the blazer, but he thought about it
Those two are huge sweaters.
Yeah. Kermit did not look like he had as much of a sweat problem last night as
really?
Bruce Pearl. Yeah, it was not as evident on TV. The tie was gone. He just had the dress shirt and the coat on. He never rid himself of the coat. He did get like way out to half court a couple of times and have to be sort of shooed back by the referees. Like he was calling out to his defenders, and he was way out on the court. I mean, not out of bounds, not up the sideline. I mean, on the court. Like they Auburn could have turned and passed him the ball.
Wow.
It was intense. It was a good game.
What, double overtime game?
Double overtime. So Auburn escapes, and of course they've got the game day crew coming in as they play. They host Kentucky this weekend. Tonight, of course, Kentucky gets to play Vanderbilt at Rupp.
Mm-hmm.
What's the line on that game?
You want to take a guess?
A guess on the line. I will say 25.
Not bad. 20 and a half.
20 and a half.
Mm-hmm. That's where Vanderbilt basketball is right now. A 20 and a half underdog.
Do you not think that's a little kind? I mean, I've watched
them
play. When
I think anybody is favored by 20 or an underdog by 20 or more points, do I think that's kind? No.
Well, I understand that South Carolina beat Kentucky at South Carolina, but South Carolina is not a great team. They just beat Vanderbilt by 26, 27.
Mm-hmm. Look, maybe it should be more towards 25. You're saying it's a little low.
At first thought, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a little low.
Speaking of Vandy, Clay wants to weigh in. Clay, what's up?
How are you doing, guys?
Good.
Willie, I have a special treat for you today.
Oh, really?
I was in Columbia, South Carolina for the game, believe it or not, and I ran into Coach Fogler, and we had a conversation about you. And
did he say
Coach
Willie still takes bad shots?
I told Coach Fogler that I think even Willie could hit one out of 37 when Vanderbilt missed 37 straight threes.
Okay, so now we have the context.
Did he agree or disagree?
He just laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And one funny thing he said, Willie, was he said that not many people at this gym will probably remember that I actually coached both of these schools. But he goes to, he still lives in Columbia since he retired, and he still goes to a lot of South Carolina basketball games. And I happened to, run into him, and it was great to catch up with him. And I miss, having him on the radio with you and George. And that was a lot of fun, talking to him in those days. But, Willie, I wanted you, you're a former player, and I've thought about you since this happened, but what did the streak mean to you? Because I think there's I'm talking about the three-point streak. There's a lot of Vanderbilt basketball players that I think are, kind of disenchanted maybe a little bit with Coach Stackhouse, just mainly because the way he reacted to it after the game and the comments he made. And, he kind of made up for it, I guess, realizing he made a mistake and released a statement before the Alabama game. But I think it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and I just wanted you to comment on that.
All right. It's a good question, Clay. First, speaking of Coach Fogler, the 93 team, the SEC regular season champions, are being honored on Saturday. So Coach Fogler will be in town. I'm going to get a chance to see him. And I think pretty much all the guys, almost all the guys, there's maybe a couple exceptions, but I'm told almost everybody will be in the gym on Saturday. And that's a great thing. They honored the 1974 champions not too long ago. They're trying to bring the guys back, which is good. And that sort of leads me to the meaning of the streak.
Well, let's also say this for the record, and George would agree. He knows. Eddie started with us at nights.
He did.
On WTN.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Before everybody heard him in afternoons with us.
Right, because he wasn't at that time very far removed from his coaching career. He had just started to get into some of the stuff. He used to be, I think, a really good TV analyst. Did a lot of games. I thought he did a very good job, and now he does the consulting.
I think George admitted to us that was one of the times he would always check out our show when Eddie was
on. Yes, yeah, that was must listen to.
Eddie and Jason Stark.
Yeah, we had our success.
Mm-hmm.
The streak. What is it? What is it that distinguishes Vanderbilt basketball in this sea of 350 Division I teams? Memorial Gym is number one, and that's to me, unless they decide to build a new arena, which I think they should never do, to me, that's one thing, the uniqueness of Memorial Gym. The other thing was the streak. It was something that bonded all players together, right? What connects Bruce Elder to Barry Goheen to John Jenkins to Derek Byers to Shane Foster? You know, it's that streak, right? You can go through the time. It's so much fun to talk about the great shooters over the years. And so it's gone. It's not Jerry Stackhouse's fault. They tried 25 threes, right? It happened. Nobody wanted it to happen, but you can't control that. As far as how he handled it after the game, I think he realized that he could have done that better and tried to make amends. And I would say this about Jerry Stackhouse. It's discouraging right now. It's hard. He's been put in a really tough spot. He inherited a mess. Then his best player gets hurt. That's a tough hand to be dealt. He's got to do the best he can. But in the meantime, I think it would be good for him to get out and make more connections with, you know, radio interviews, TV interviews. He doesn't do them, right? As far as I know.
We've asked.
He doesn't really do them.
He just releases stuff, press releases. Sounds familiar. Sounds like the AD.
But it's
came
hard.
From the same cloth.
And it's hard for him to have a lot to say right now. What do you say? Well, we got the same group. We're trying the hardest we can. But even if it's more just telling stories, you know, and talking about your vision for what you're doing. And you can't talk about recruiting, but you can talk about some of the things you're trying to do. Like, for example, who's the next guy? I'm sure in the Nashville area, in our listening area, if you go on the radio shows, there's probably a kid. Maybe he's an eighth grader. Maybe he's a ninth grader. Maybe he's a seventh grader that listens to these shows, or their parents listen to these shows, or family. What's he doing to connect to the local guy? Maybe there's the next Ron Mercer that's coming up through here. Maybe that kid would be interested in Vanderbilt. Or can you get those guys? He really has no presence at all right now. And if I could give him some advice, I would say start doing some of that stuff.
Only if you can read. You could just read those statements that are released. And there you go.
Well, he's done radio interviews before. He's got plenty of stories to tell. I think he would be a really interesting guy to, be interesting, right? Show off what you got.
Yep.
You got a lot to tell. You've been a lot of places.
No doubt about it.
So I think that would help.
We'll come back. We'll head down to Miami. Kendall Gammon. He is the Chiefs color analyst on radio. We had a really good conversation with him before the game against the Titans. He's a former player in the NFL. We'll talk to him in lieu of Super Bowl 54. We do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sunday, Super Bowl 54. Wish it was the Titans and the 49ers, but the better team won. And that was the Chiefs. It'll be the Chiefs and the 49ers. And as I said on Monday, I'll have to see it to believe it that Kansas City loses this Super Bowl. That's my stance.
Man,
and
you are confident.
I'm sticking to it. Kendall Gammon, we talked to him before the game against the Titans in the AFC Championship game. He is the Chiefs color analyst on radio, former player. We had a really fun conversation with him on Friday, that Friday show before the championship game. Kendall, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I am currently in South Beach trying to get to Radio Row and navigating things, so I'm multitasking at its finest right now.
We have worked Super Bowls in the past. Where is Radio Row down in Miami? I've worked Super Bowls in Miami before.
What they did was they took a poll and found out what they thought would be the toughest place to reach with the least amount of parking, and then they went with that. And so it is beautiful. It's in Miami Beach, and, you know, it is what it is. To say things are congested is an understatement, but we're making do, and you know, it is just part of the deal. But the pageantry and everything goes along with it is pretty cool. I played in Super Bowl 30, so it's been a while since I've been around one like this, and I'm just trying to take it all in.
In fact, the last one I was down there for was the Colts and the Bears, the one that rained the whole time. And their big media party was literally on South Beach, literally on the beach. And it was quite the party. It was fun. I don't know what they did this year.
Yeah, you know, we haven't got there yet. But they, they do seem to have the whole partying thing down to an art down here. I will say that.
that is some really good info, Kendall. You are correct.
But as I say, you've got to have a hobby. So it works out well. And
it's always
moving around. Yeah,
I was going to say, it's always dangerous to assume, but should I assume that you agree with my assessment that Kansas City's going to take care of business?
You know, I really do. I think they match up well, guys, and certainly I'm a homer. We know that. But I think it is a good matchup for Kansas City. I think the difference is when you look at Kansas City's defense against their offense, and I think we're going to have the stronger one. So it's going to be... It's going to be interesting, certainly, and I think if anybody has a chance to really get things going, it would be Andy Reid. And I apologize here. I'm sorry. Just a second, guys. Andy Reid, and you know, just how much experience he has. Not to take anything against San Francisco. I just think the playoff experience is going to do well.
Everybody's going to want to see if San Francisco can apply pressure to Patrick Mahomes. And we know how good he is just scrambling really in the pocket. He doesn't even have, you know, scrambling alone. We saw that against the Titans, unfortunately, but you know, his legs, how well he can make that work in his favor buying time. How do you think? And San Francisco is good. Certainly they got to Aaron Rodgers. They got to Kirk Cousins in the playoffs. How do you think Kansas City will combat that element?
You know what? It's going to be interesting to see because I apologize, guys. I think, you know, they've got to be very wary of their rush lanes. Of course, they've got five former first-round picks that come in there, one of them being the former Chief and Dee Ford. And they've got to be very wary of their rush lanes to contain Mahomes, because you said it, that is the difference maker. He's been our leading rusher the last two games in the playoffs, and he extends plays. And when you extend plays, that's when bad things happen for the defense, and we've seen that both weeks. And Mahomes, apparently he's like a Tesla. He has six or seven cameras that are seen all around him, and his awareness of what's happening is simply amazing.
I don't have a Tesla, but I got the reference. Apparently, you do.
I got a friend that has one, and they are pretty cool. I will say that. I got a friend. I've always got a friend.
You know, I've heard a lot of people this week, Kendall, say that, you know, San Francisco, their weakness is they're not great against the run. But Kansas City's strength, as we all know, is Mahomes slinging it all over the place. So a lot of people are suggesting that Kansas City and Andy Reid need to run the ball more. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree. What they have to do is they have to run the ball effectively to a degree, and it still just has to be a threat. So the play action is in, quote, play, and that the rushers for San Francisco just can't pin their ears back. They play the run on the way to the quarterback a lot, but I think as long as you're mixing it in there a little bit, I think that helps out. Certainly if Kansas City could maybe get out to a lead earlier than they have in the last two games, that would be nice. But in general, you're not going to change your spots now. I mean, you're running back by committee, and it's not what you made your bones on. And I count the running plays really as quick passes to the running backs out in the flat, and just really – that, to me, is the glorified run game, even though it is a pass.
Kendall Gammon is with us, Chiefs radio analyst, as he gets ready to maneuver through Radio Row. We really appreciate him taking a few minutes with us today. And, Kendall, I just want to go back to the AFC title game. The rush defense for Kansas City, you were telling us prior to the game, had been getting better down the stretch of the season. And they have to come in with full confidence after being the first team in months to slow down Derrick Henry. How did they do it? Because that was a critical point in the game to sort of stop. They got some three and outs at key times, and then Patrick Mahomes took over.
Yeah, I think the big thing is you had a lot of run blitzes. You have a team that's playing inspired and believes they can stop the run. And our interior guys that are kind of the no-names, you know, one we picked up off the street during the season, Mike Pinnell, Derek Nnadi, last year's third-round pick, I believe, and even Colin Sanders, who's from a 1AA school, they've just started playing a lot better, and they've controlled the middle the best they can, and they're making piles, taking up, eating up offensive linemen that allows the linebackers to go make the plays the way they need to.
What is different in your mind about how the 49ers go about it in their running game as opposed to the Titans? Because they have some great schemes, and obviously they really got it cranking against the Packers.
Yeah, you know, Shanahan, they decide where they're going to go. You heard last week they against Green Bay, they felt like they could attack the edges. And so, you know, they're specific to the team they play, not to what they do. And it'll be interesting to see what they think this week. But they just got to the edges and felt like they could take care of business, and they certainly did. And it's going to be interesting to see what the game plan is, and I think we will certainly get a taste of it very quickly.
You've seen Mahomes play well. You've seen him play tremendously. I just was so impressed against the Titans. I was thinking, just one mistake, you know, one risky throw, one ball that gets tipped. That's what the Titans got against the Ravens that they did not get against the Chiefs. And so you have to tip your cap. But relative to what you see every week from Mahomes, how good was he in that game?
Yeah, extending plays, getting first downs. I think he got four first downs with his legs. He just did some things that are very difficult to defend and really kind of tug at the heart of a defense when you think you got everything covered and all of a sudden he runs down the sideline for a first down. So it's definitely tough for sure. And he's playing at a high level. He has he has a lot of confidence going on. He's leading at a level that is well above his years in the league at three. And he's just special. I mean, I know it sounds homerish, but I mean, people that watch it, the dude, he just gets it.
We'll wrap it up with this, Kendo. In the past, leading up to the Super Bowl, guys have disappeared to Mexico. There's no chance like you're going to disappear to the Keys or anything, right?
There is not. Right now, I'm just hoping I don't run out of gas while I'm trying to find a parking spot. I mean, it'd take an act of Congress for me to find a spot to go right now. But, it is what it is, and, you deal with it. But it's a special time, and feel very fortunate.
You did a good job multitasking during this interview. Enjoy the game. We'll certainly be watching, and we appreciate your time as always.
Okay. Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. That is Kendall Gammon, former player. He is now the color analyst for the Chiefs on radio, and wish he had more time. He's a really fun interview.
He is, and he was clearly meandering through
very
God knows what. But
Miami's a tough. We've had to navigate around Miami. It's very spread out. You know this. I'm not sure. I know that they had the media night at Marlins Park. I'm not sure where they're doing radio. I'm trying to remember where was Radio Row.
Well, the thing about it is it's the whole area is so spread out.
I don't remember where Radio
Row. You dealt with it, like you said, in the Super Bowl. But what makes Nashville such a great place to have events like this?
Everything's
boom, right there.
You can walk around.
You can walk around, and if you have to drive, you're not having to drive very far. The NHL is going to deal with this next year when the Panthers host the All-Star game. It's just spread out. You can't do
like their
events
in
the same place
the
games are.
It's out in the middle of the Everglades.
Yeah. So anything that you do there, you're going to deal with that. It's a beautiful weather, obviously, mm-hmm. and if you can get to the beach, it's awesome once you get there. It's just you have to take some time. Even in Houston, when we covered the Super Bowl, very spread out. You know, downtown was great once you got down there, but, of course, the stadium's not downtown. You want to go to the media mm-hmm. thing, you can drive all the way out to the stadium.
Yep. I think it was at the convention center downtown Miami, I believe. I think that's right. Where they had Radio Row back then, but that was gosh, when was that Super Bowl? 06?
Right, and that's
Colts,
nowhere near the
Colts
stadium.
Bears? No. No. Well, no, they didn't have much. I guess the big media day was there. So, yeah, you're right. It's difficult to navigate, so we appreciate him joining us. We will come back with more. We'll check in with Tim Hasselbeck, who's down in Miami. We'll do that in the second hour of the program. Mike Tirico is going to join us later on in the program, too. We're excited about that. He's actually on the call for the Predators and the Capitals tonight, but Mike Tirico also called Kobe Bryant's last game. So we'll have a great conversation with Tirico a little bit later in the show. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, Donick, and Chase. That is the interesting part of the strategy as we sit here on the Wednesday before Super Bowl 54. The line is still around one and a half.
I got to ask you. You and Kendall was right with you, you know, but he's the Chiefs guy, right? He's going to believe in his team. But why are you so sure on the Chiefs, really? You're sitting there going, I mean, you haven't used the words book it, but you're very confident in the Chiefs, that they are a one-point favorite.
You want to
know
why?
So where are you getting that?
And we'll go back on something you said yesterday. Because you guys were trying to poke fun at me, and that's fine. Okay? We all can poke fun at each other on this show. But you made a point when we were talking to Rex Road to bring up the Trevor Lawrence thing. And do you know why I felt so strongly at the time we had that conversation? One, I didn't feel like Mariota was the long-term solution. And we had gone through Jake Locker, we had gone through Vince Young, and now I didn't feel like Mariota was a long-term solution. So at the time when we were having that conversation, I said, who's kidding who? Trevor Lawrence is a can't-miss guy. He is going to be the number one pick in the draft when he comes out in a couple of years. This is back when we had the conversation. Right. And the reason that I believe that Kansas City is going to win, and the reason I brought that up at the time, and we talked about it for a good while on the show, is because, Willie, Ryan Tannehill was spectacular once he took over the job this year. He just was. He really was spectacular. And Jimmy Garoppolo has had a really good season. If I ask you, how would you describe Jimmy Garoppolo? Tell me how you would describe him. What would you say?
Well, he's 21-5 or 21-6.
It's like the Vince Young record, right? Tim Tebow. Hey, he's got a winning record. Yeah. His record's really good. Okay, but how would you describe him?
A very good quarterback who we're just learning about how great he could be. I mean, is he great
right now? Is he great?
Right now, I don't know if I would put him in the great category. He's capable.
Is he elite?
21-5 is 21-5.
No, that's not true.
Well, elite every week, no, but he has had some stretches where he is doing everything they need him to do and more.
When Vince Young's record was outstanding, people used to call into the show and just badger the heck out of us that how could you say that? Look at his record, right? How many times have they?
Right.
He's a winner. He's got it. But he finds a way to win. Is he great?
But Garoppolo, his numbers, with all due respect to Vince Young, Vince Young's passing numbers were pretty ugly at times. Now, he could do his thing, create extended plays.
Jimmy Garoppolo's passing numbers are pretty ugly at times.
At times, but he is completing 69% of his passes, 27 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions, which is a little high. He ranks somewhere between 10 and 12 in all of the rankings, right, depending on what ranking you're looking for. Is that elite? No, but very, very good. But Mahomes is in a different category altogether. Mahomes is off the charts.
Right.
Good.
And that is what I'm getting at.
And right now you could argue that the way he's played in the postseason has been superhuman. Really.
You can win
when you look
at
the seven straight touchdown scoring drives against Houston and then the near perfect performance against the Titans. I don't know that you could be playing better than he's playing right now.
Simply put, Willie, when you have the elite quarterback or quarterbacks, which we all can identify in this league and the ones that have been around, and most of them, the ones that we would say, other than Mahomes, are at the end of their careers, when you have those guys, you always have a chance. If your front office is doing their job right and they're putting together other players that can help you, when you have those guys, you always have a chance. You should be in the thick of things year in and year out.
Right.
And that's what I want. Can you win without the elite guy? Yes, you can. but it's usually just in that window where everything, the perfect storm, everything has to go right. The 49ers defense has to be off the charts. Their running game has to be off the charts, kind of like the Titans. They've done really good defensively. They've done really good running the football. And then your really good quarterback, not great quarterback, not elite quarterback, can win you a lot of games and sometimes put you in a position for a run to the Super Bowl or get you into the Super Bowl or maybe even win a Super Bowl.
Okay, maybe.
But year in and year out, it is very, very difficult to sustain that type of success when you don't have that special guy under center. And I believe Trevor Lawrence is going to be special. And whoever he lands on, he's probably going to have them in a spot just like Mahomes, by the way, who's in his second full year of starting. Second full year of starting. The Kansas City Chiefs, unless they are just bumbling idiots in the front office, kind of like what Indianapolis did, bumbling idiot at general manager, screwed that team up when you had Andrew Luck and about got him killed, and that's why he retired early. Unless they just screw this up royally moving forward, if you have a guy like Mahomes, guess what? They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
All right, let's put aside your argument of discovering, because Mahomes was not the first pick in the draft. People weren't tanking to get him. A lot of people passed on him.
So but you the can't, Chiefs so, traded up to get him.
Yes,
they
I
did.
Know, but you can't know everything. You can't know that a quarterback is going to be the man when you draft him, no matter how good he looks on paper. But Mahomes is where he is right now. But here's what you're forgetting with your sureness about the Chiefs. Mahomes has lit up the Texans and the Titans. Good defenses, but not great defenses. San Francisco might have the best defense in football.
I would agree with that. Yep.
So I just don't see how you could. Now, that's what's, to me, going to be very compelling about this Super Bowl, is you get to see a red-hot offense with a special quarterback go up against a great defense. Dan Marino was a young quarterback once upon a time playing the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and they made him look human. Remember the Joe Montana, mm-hmm. Dan Marino Super Bowl? It's the only Super Bowl that Dan Marino ever played in, unfortunately. But he, like Mahomes, had burst on the scene and was lighting it up. But he made some mistakes in that game. He didn't quite get it cranking.
Do you remember Jacksonville before they played the Titans in the AFC Championship game, who they carved up the week before?
The Dolphins.
I mean, what did they score, like 65?
Oh, it was like, 52-7 or 62-7.
It was insane. Yeah. I mean, they destroyed them.
Was that Dan Marino's last game?
I think it was his last game, yeah, wasn't it?
Definitely his last playoff game. I think it might have been his last game. Was that Jimmy Johnson coaching the Dolphins back then? Or was that Shula's last?
That may have been, I don't know.
We'd have to look it up.
We'd have to look that up.
But, yeah, I think
that was Marino's last game.
But that was not Dan Marino in his prime. That was the end of Dan Marino. So I just, first of all, when the line is one, I just was surprised to hear how confident you are that the Chiefs are going to win. Now, it's interesting. Football Outsiders, when you look at how they break the game down and their winning percentage odds, they have the Chiefs at 57%, which would indicate that's not a one-point line in their mind. They see something for the Chiefs as well.
When I've watched the national guys, or the pundits out there throwing out their picks all week, I've seen more 49ers than Chiefs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, when the line is one.
When I watched Inside,
you would think it'd be
what
very
is the show on Showtime?
Balanced. Inside the NFL.
Inside the NFL. Yeah. They were all picking the 49ers.
All 49ers, huh?
Yep. Except for Ray Lewis. I think he picked the Chiefs. The other ones were all
That's
picking.
That's ironic, because you would think Ray Lewis would believe in the great defense. Because mm-hmm. the Chiefs do not have a great defense.
Mm-mm.
The Chiefs have a good defense that's playing well, right? But they can be had. And that's where Garoppolo and his play is going to be crucial, right? Garoppolo has all the tools. He's a good quarterback. He's got a great defense around him, and he's got a great running game. So he doesn't have to be great, right? He doesn't have to do what Mahomes is going to have to do in this game to be successful.
But I think if you didn't have that, I think it's a different 49. That's what I'm getting at. Those guys have to have that. You can win with them.
But they have it.
But they have
They're
going
to have it
that.
On Sunday.
Yes, they will.
That's what my
they
question
will.
Was to you about this game yep. on Sunday, yep. not year in and year out.
I got
because
you.
That's another thing that has emerged this week that happened yesterday. And maybe that's what we talk about in the next segment. But they sort of deferred the whole, hey, are you going to sign Patrick Mahomes? How much are you going to sign him for? Are you guys working on a contract extension? Because they don't want to have to – they don't want to make that the story this week, and that's probably smart
sure.
on the Chiefs. But long term, just like the Packers and the Saints and all the teams that have the elite quarterback, they have to figure out how much can we spend to keep him and still have enough to put a championship team around him, right?
Yep. Tyrone, what's up?
What's going on, gentlemen? Got to tell you, man, a couple of things. First, on the Super Bowl, I think Mahomes is the best player in football. I think he's the best player on the field. But I think as a complete roster and as a matchup, I think the Niners are the better team. Now, Mahomes can win the game because he's explosive. He's probably the second coming of Michael Jordan. But I think the Niners, if Garoppolo plays a great, efficient football game, and don't turn the football over and make plays. I put it like this. If Garoppolo plays like he plays against the Saints when they went to New Orleans and won and put up 40, I think the Niners got a chance to win this game because I think the Niners' strength is I think their weakness, I think you can run on the Niners, but like you've been saying, the Chiefs don't. They don't like to run the ball. They like to be an air show. So I think this is going to be a close game. I'm going to lean Mahomes because he's the best player. But I would not be shocked a bit if the Niners can physically overwhelm the Chiefs and win this game. And on to your Lawrence conversation, Trevor Lawrence conversation, because hey, this strikes me, because I really believe Brady's leaving New England. And I think if anybody could pull this off, it's Bill, because he's won six titles. And I think the fact that Kraft forced him to move on for Garoppolo, they don't have a succession plan, puts him in this spot. And if all of America and the fans have been pissed at New England cheating scandals over the years, Deflategate, Spygate, and Filmgate, I'm telling you, if Brady leaves,
documentary gate, or whatever, TV show gate, or whatever it was.
Yeah. I believe Brady's gone, and I think the Titans in play. I think the Raiders in play. Chargers galore. That's neither here nor there. I believe they lost their offensive coach yesterday, Scarnecchia. I don't rule out the idea that Bill just tanks it and says, bleep it. You know what? Hey, I'm going to screw it. Tank for Lawrence. I can do it. I've won six titles. Who cares? I'll sacrifice the year for the next 12. I wouldn't rule that out.
Can you imagine?
If they do that, we're all going to find another sport to watch. We're just going to give up.
Wouldn't it be Bill to just thumb his nose, say, you know what? Spygate, Filmgate, all this and that. Now, you know what? Tankergate. Suck for Lawrence Gate. That's just him. And you know what? I believe that's the only move he has to stay in play after Brady. Because if not, he's looking at a 3 to 5 year rebuild in my mind.
So if Brady leaves and they announce Luke Falk is the starter next year, you believe they're tanking for Lawrence?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. All these reports about they may be wanting Mariota. I've heard people say Mariota. Oh, please spare me. No way. If Brady walks, Bill's going to say, you know what? Bleep it. I'm going to piss everybody off and tank for Lawrence and suck this year and then have a chance for the next 12 years and just piss everybody off again. That's just how the man thinks. You guys know that.
I know.
And hey, I don't stand by what I say, Dan.
I know.
I think the Titans are the favorite for Brady, but the Raiders, they're in the midst, my friend. They're in the midst.
I don't know why we're laughing. You're probably onto something. Thank you, Tyrone, as always. It would not. But it passed him. And, yes, if the Patriots do that, then we should all just find another sport. Just stop. Just stop watching. The Patriots are going to get Trevor Lawrence. Jeez. But they would have to finish. I mean, could you imagine a Bill Belichick team finishing 1-15 or 2-14? Who could see that?
No, I can't.
Like, right. We would.
Unless you were intentionally trying to lose.
Unless you're right.
Maybe he volunteers a suspension for the Cincinnati videotaping thing. He's like, you know what? We misbehaved. I'll suspend myself for the
forfeit.
Entire year.
We will only play seven on each side of the ball.
That's one way to do it.
Right, well, think about like Miami. Everybody went into the season thinking they're going to be horrendous, and you know they're tanking. They're trying to get to it. And by the end of the year, they're pretty darn good. They beat the mm-hmm. Patriots. The reason the Titans played the Patriots is because they couldn't beat the Dolphins at home.
At home
at the end of the season. You know why? Because the Dolphins weren't half bad. in the second half of the season.
And they still may get Tua.
So it might not be as easy to tank as you think.
We'll come back, close out the first hour next. Some interviews. Check it out, Talking with TD. This podcast still will come out later today.
The guy works, man. TD.
Definitely works.
He does the homework.
Said he's going to talk to
the research.
Rydell Anthony.
Name from the past.
How about that?
Florida Gators, 1996 national champion. Danny Werfel, Heisman Trophy winner. Steve Spurrier. They had a rematch, right? Against Florida State in the championship game.
Yep.
They had played Florida State in the regular season and lost.
And then they smoked them.
And absolutely destroyed them in the championship game. Was that a Danny Cannell Florida State team? Was he the quarterback on that team?
Could have been.
The years are running
Sounds
together
right.
on me a little bit. Florida State, of course, was top five every year back then.
And they would have been higher if they could have made field goals.
Oh, well, we know that. I mean, that was the years right before that. And then they broke through and won it the 1 year with Charlie Ward. But that Rydell Anthony, that was an Ike Hilliard. Ike Hilliard?
Yep. Patriots took those guys all went high. They all got drafted pretty high, and they just didn't ever really work out in the NFL.
Yeah.
A lot of those Florida receivers just never. I mean, you know, they had some decent career, but not anything. Because some of them got taken, first, second round.
That team was
just
loaded.
Never, I know. They just never lived up to it.
That team, I was a young sideline reporter on the Vanderbilt Radio Network. I was telling Teron. And Vanderbilt had a great Woody Woodenhofer defense, but a very poor offense. And it was not a good Vanderbilt team at all. They were like a 4-touchdown underdog, but ended up being a great game. At Vanderbilt Stadium.
I was at that game.
Went into the fourth quarter.
Didn't
really?
Even live here. I was at that game.
Is that right?
Yep. We were passing through, and buddies and I had three buddies of mine. We stopped, and we went to the game.
Game was very close
cold.
In the fourth quarter.
It
yeah,
was cold
afternoon.
It was
yeah.
very cold. That's what I remembered about it. It was very cold.
Vanderbilt had Corey Chavis and Jamie Duncan and a lot of players that went on. They had Ken Wisenhunt running the special teams, your favorite coach.
Mm. He was probably better then.
He was a great young special teams coach, honestly.
I'm sure he was.
They did a great job.
So do you see why I brought that up? Do you understand?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just think.
In the big picture, sure. But in this game, I just think it could go a lot of different ways.
And
they're a one-point favorite for a reason. The line is one for
I'm
a reason.
I'm not going to be surprised with the outcome either way. I'm just saying I believe that Kansas City's going to win. I didn't say they're going to blow them out. I didn't say it was going to be lopsided. I just said I have felt the whole time the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so let's look big picture with Mahomes, because I agree with you 100%. They've got something special. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody play like he plays. So what's he worth? Right? He is going to move the needle with what they pay him. Their word yesterday, I can't remember what they said, that's you know, they're deferring. We'll get to it. It's a priority, but we have some time. And they indicated, I think it was Hunt, I forget the family member's name, you know, the son of the late owner, the originator of the Chiefs. But they said, you know, we'll get to it. But there has to be a ton of thought going in. And also Patrick Mahomes has to think, hey, listen, I can break the bank if I want to, but what do I want to do? How much do I want to leave the rest of my team to
Brady
be
could have
able
done
to
that.
Have it? Sure. I do wonder how he thinks along those lines. If he wants to, he'll set a record. He'll shatter the record for the most any quarterback's ever been paid in a contract, right?
No question. $40 million.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. If look, if we're talking about 30 for Tannehill, and you hear Dak Prescott maybe 35, give me a break. Of course, Mahomes would make 40. But like you said, it's that delicate balance. Well, that's great if you're the player and you're him. But how's the rest? As I just said, I mean, you're going to have to give him a chance. He's special. But you just can't, as we saw in Indianapolis, like I said, with Gregson, who was just an awful general manager. You got to give him some help or it won't work, even though he's special. So you have to have money to do other things, like have an offensive line that can protect him and have weapons. And, you know, you still have to play defense. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I don't – when I say that, it's not – because I always reiterate by saying you can win with those guys. I'm not saying that, you know, re-signing Tannehill is the wrong thing. I'm just saying that you have to be better at your job with surrounding those guys. You have to have the right team in place to win.
If everybody could have a Mahomes, they would. The problem is, you know, there might be at any given time, at best, 6 to 8 out of the 32 teams that would have a guy like that. So everybody else has got to deal with, all right, how long are we going to wait to try to find the next guy that comes along? How easy is it to find that guy? Not easy at all. Or do we just make do with the bird in hand?
I mean, a prime example is Jared Goff, right? Good. Not great. They lost a lot of players after they went to the Super Bowl last year. And how did this year work out?
Not good.
Sue and Peters and all those guys went away.
And I think he proved that he is still not
Saffold
a
here.
Guy that is going to carry them, right? The greatest of the great carry the offense.
And the running game, and Gurley was hurt. That's what I'm saying. Then when you have those guys and everything isn't right, everything isn't perfect, look what happens. They didn't even make the playoffs. So everything has to be right, and that's okay, but – you know, your margin of error is much smaller. Your window is much smaller because everything has to be perfect. Everything has to fall into place. You can have injuries. You can't have too many injuries, or you got to be careful at which injuries they are, right? That's the difference. Where some other teams, when you have that guy, you can sustain even an injury that, you know, hurts a lot, but because you have that special guy, you can overcome.
You also, if you look at the 49ers, one of the things, by the way, we just got a little update on Ryan Ellis, by the way, so we'll share that in a little while. It just came down the pike. But the other thing that the 49ers have, they have elite performances from guys that aren't making the elite money yet, right? For example, Bosa's a rookie, right? So he's played great, and he's a first-round pick, so he's getting paid more than a lot of rookies, but he's not making the big, big bucks. You haven't had to invest in that second contract. They found Deebo Samuel, right? What he wasn't a first-round pick. He's a guy that's emerged. He's played great. And then the greatest example is Mostert, right? A guy that's been a replacement-level guy that's bounced around, been on the street half the time, available for anybody to pick up. And he's playing out of his mind right now. So when you don't have the great quarterback, that's how you have a great team, is you find a few guys like that, you draft well, et cetera.
All right, we'll come back and we will get you that Ryan Ellis news. Plus, we'll talk to Max Herz. We'll have Tim Hasselbeck at 11:30. We'll talk a little Vanderbilt with him. Tim Corbin and the boys have actually gone out there and hit the field. We'll talk a lot with Max to kick off the second hour. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1,000,000 SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.